Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, come on into the dog, because you're down the dog with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson.
John,
yes.
Well, there's obviously a big thing to talk about, but before we get into that, we were left on a knife edge a couple of weeks ago. Were you able to go and see Leeds at home the other week?
I was not. I did not go to the game. I think the game we're referencing, it's the one before last, wasn't it, that I thought I might get to?
Oh, yeah. God, there's so many games in the Championship.
Yes, aren't there? Lots to get through. Swinging from victory to defeat. Where are we now? We lost last week to Southampton.
Yeah.
Took a bit of a beating. Obviously didn't go to that. I ain't going down the Dell.
Yeah.
I'll never stop calling it the Dell.
That's nice. Is that because it sounds like Adele?
I just think it's a lovely name for a football ground.
I agree.
It's totally unique. It's not soft sounding, even though it does call up images of the Dingley Dell, whereupon one might find enchanted woodland creatures.
Yeah.
It just sounds lovely, I think, because you can say, oh, guide down the Dell.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's close den. Enough to the Den, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it could be noted, kicked off down the Dell. Yeah, old Mother Bear. She'd found out who nicked her honey and she fucked up some rabbits.
John, we are obviously having this conversation over microphones, and we're not the only two men or more to have... The VAR audio has been released, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, that's the worst link you've ever done.
It is. I got annoyed with myself for even trying to just...
But you know what? It was so bad. It was one of the best.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely loved it.
Have you heard the audio?
Well, I was slightly reluctant to listen to it because at the time I was preparing my daughter for bed, and earlier in the week had been duped into thinking that I was listening to the audio of the VAR decision. And perhaps you'd like to tell the listeners what I was listening to instead, Matthew.
It's the classic prank where you're sent something that you believe is a topical piece of audio. And it turns out to be loud sex noises. I was sent it by a former Labour MP, and I felt that I, therefore, in a way that it was kind of, in a way, a legitimate wind-up to pass on. It's not the sort of thing I usually do, but I thought, well, if he's enjoying it, I'm going to enjoy it. And I wanted you to, well, obviously, I wouldn't have wanted you to play it in too inappropriate a place. But I did hope that some other people might be around. And I thought, because it was from me, because it was that clip, because it's not the sort of thing I usually send on, I might just fully get you with it.
You did fully get me with it. it seemed, was it the sex noises that were played into the studio where Gary Lineker was broadcasting from? I felt like this is a stupid thing to say. I felt like I recognized it. And I don't mean that I've watched that particular video in its natural form, but I felt like that was the sex noise from the famous BBC Match of the Day.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's funny you say you recognize it. I think it sounds like you.
You. What do you mean? That'd be an awful thing happening to me for me to make that noise.
Fucking hell. I think that's a well-used clip.
I tell you what does sound like me. Yes, it is. It is the go-to sex noise, isn't it? It's if you Google sex noise. Mm. I tell you what does sound certainly in my ilk is the actual footage of the VAR. It's two meek, pathetic men, isn't it? I mean, they've absolutely thrown them under the bus by releasing that footage of them just going, ew, what? Oh shit.
My favourite one is, Ollie says stop it. Ollie says stop it. You what?
Ollie, oh, they've started.
Delay the game. Delay the game.
I think it's harsh them getting so much abuse. You're like, there, but for the grace of God, it's so hard. They've made a mistake. If it was Luton Burnley, would there have been this much fuss about it?
No, absolutely not. But potentially, you have to say Luton Burnley, a goal either way, there probably isn't going to decide the title.
No, it's decide who goes down. It's the fate of nations.
They'll both go down, won't they?
Maybe.
It's Luton Burnley. I mean, Burnley, you know.
Next day up.
Good luck to them, and I hope they enjoy it.
I've loved it. I've loved the whole fallout. The only thing I feel sorry for the VARs, for them all, for the assistant, for, because they're people, and it's just a
yes,
sad mistake. But the whole thing is so funny. I can't believe the story's run this long.
As someone who has cancelled gigs, there's no European leg of my tour for two reasons. One is the carbon footprint, my desire to tour in a efficient and environmentally friendly manner. And the second reason is that there's absolutely no call for it whatsoever. However, the first one takes precedent. It's annoying to think that you take decisions like that seriously. And we are flying fucking referees to the UAE to watch a video of a football game. I mean, what the fuck is going on? With that carbon that is in the atmosphere now, that is amongst the most futile pieces of carbon in the atmosphere. Of everything, power stations and all that, at least they're powering countries. That whatever measure for those two men to sit on a plane and watch a fucking video of a game happening in the UAE, that is carbon that is, it doesn't deserve to be in the atmosphere.
Okay, that's interesting, Don. So some carbon does, and do those carbons affect the atmosphere differently?
No, they all have the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
The good carbons and the bad carbons. The carbons that I emit, basically, they're good, they're fine, because I am a good person, and all other carbons are bad. Okay. That's the rough rule.
Okay. Yeah, I thought, I sort of had an inkling of that. I thought that's how the chips would fall. Have you listened to referees mic'd up yet on the Premier League?
No, game? I haven't. You tipped me off about it this week, and that's, I haven't brilliant, followed it up.
Because it really captures the chaos. They sound like they're absolutely out of breath because the little microphone catches the wind. There's always a bit of, which yes, makes it sound like police footage. That's what it sounds like. So he'll go, number 19, foul number 12. Yeah. You're going to need that, mate. Yeah. And then you can hear him going, it's being checked. So you can't hear the players. And then you just hear the VAR and they're going, okay, we're checking that for you now. And then when he's running to the thing, they're going to go, we're going to show you the clip now, mate. He goes, cheers, mate. And you just type, it sounds, basically, the referees throughout the whole game are just talking throughout the whole game. They're describing everything they're seeing. Kicked it forward. He's running it. He's touched it. They've touched it. They're on each other. They're moving.
Bang on. When you hear the VAR footage, the first 30 seconds, you're like, well, I can understand how there'd been a mistake here because everybody is constantly yammering. And as you say, the referee's running. The instructions aren't clear. It's right, forward, rolling, and it, offside, we're checking for the goal, and then but I'm going to go and have my tea, and hopefully it's spaghetti hoops. You can't really understand what's going on. The 30 seconds after, when they're just saying, the decision was offside, though. Are you happy with that? Hmm? Yeah, fine, offside. No, but he's saying it's offside. Are you happy that it's offside? Oh, no, it's not offside. It's a goal. Right, so it's not. It should have been a goal. Oh, shit. That bit. When it's not the referee anymore, it's just the VAR and the tech advisor. It's like the office.
Is it? Do we know what swear word he says?
One of them should be just eating a scotch egg in slow motion.
Do we know what swear word it is? I just presumed it was fuck.
I think it's fuck, yeah.
It'd be cool if it's
not a
fuck
shit
all shit
moment, that, is it?
Bastard would be funnier. Bastard.
Yeah, bugger.
Equally, I get these things are important, obviously, in football, but outside of football, they're not.
Yeah.
And the level of coverage, I mean, I do kind of enjoy it. I enjoy the endless controversy. I love people losing their shit over it.
Well, do you know the reason for that and the great problem? If you're not a Liverpool fan,
yeah,
it's fucking hilarious.
It's really funny.
I mean, it's I'm not, you know, because I know what it's. I know what it's like when Leeds do badly and everyone finds it hilarious. I don't like it. But if you're not a Liverpool fan, objectively, this is a hilarious. That whole game was just horrific. I mean, I don't think they got anything right. The red card, the own goal at the end. It was just.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, hilarious. And I hope that happens to all football teams.
Football's just so much fun. I love it.
Oh my God.
What?
I can't believe I haven't told you this.
Yeah.
So I went into a garage this week
to get a
snack. So it's a branded garage. This is not, it doesn't say like Mucky Phil's petrol house. It is what we would recognise as one of the brands.
Okay, like Shell or Esso, something like that.
Yeah, one of those. Going to the counter, we get recognised by the ladies there. And we're chatting away.
Yeah.
And one of them goes, "Have you seen me sign?" And I said, "No." And she went, "Manager don't like it." And I said, "All right." She steps to the side and she has printed and stuck onto the cigarette gantry.
Yeah.
It says, "I will not argue with anybody who should have been swallowed."
What?
She's printed that out and stuck it onto the gantry in big letters. And if any customers kick off about anything, she just points at the sign.
How old's this woman?
40s.
Oh God, so quite young.
Maybe early 50s. I don't. Once I'd seen the sign, everything else sort of faded from my memory.
And what she means is, instead of their parents having intercourse, they should have done something else instead.
Yes, it should have been oral sex that was, and not even spat out, but swallowed. It's very specific.
I mean,
when you're dying on the pavement or in a tissue, I want you to be dissolved by stomach acid in sperm form.
My God. And I can't believe the manager, I mean, the manager's upset, but hasn't got the strength to take the sign down.
Yeah. It was one of the more remarkable things I've ever seen. I mean, there'd be people who, because once you've seen it, you know exactly where it is. So I'm sure there'll be people who know the particular garage I'm talking about. And it's one of those, this only ends one way. You know, this is not a battle that's going to get won at head office.
You're getting
level.
Swallowed.
Yeah. We've discussed it at head office. Actually, we're fine with it. And we're going to put them in all stores. I mean, this ends one way. She's going to lose her job at some point.
And is it handwritten or is it printed?
No, it's printed. Oh, yeah.
Times New Roman? Printed it out. Arial, Calibri?
I couldn't speak to the font. It's capital letters, so it's all in caps lock.
Jet black?
So the font, not jet black on just a white piece of paper.
Yeah.
I will say font size, she could have gone up a few because she hadn't filled the page. So she probably sort of half to two-thirds filled the page with the... But it's very clear.
Can I ask about the formatting? Left align, centre, right align?
Centre, yeah.
Oof, unprofessional.
Central alignment.
Unprofessional.
Yeah, it was a bit of a mess.
Don't like that formatting.
It's... I think... There comes a point in the production value that the more effort you put into it, the sadder it looks. There's something about the, right, I'm going on the computer and I'm fucking putting my sign up.
I quite like the provocative nature of it.
Well, it did remind me of a different time when these places were all independent and, you know, certainly the news agents of my youth, where my friend Lee and I would go and buy the Sunday Sport and, you know, enough sweets to down a horse and 8 litres of orangeade. All for like a quid. That's what they were like. They smelt a certain way. Everything was out of date. It was pointless even speculating. You took a gamble on how cheap you wanted your crisps. Do you want the 1p bag or the 5p bag?
Yeah, and the shopkeepers would be quite abusive to you verbally.
Yeah.
They'd just bollock you for no reason. They'd be horrible to you. Miserable bastards.
Yeah.
And it was, that
Don't
was just
touch
part
that.
Of it. You go down to the shop, get a bollocking and go home.
Yeah, the good old days.
They were frontline staff, really, weren't they? That was, and nowadays you've got people screaming at shop staff. It's gone the other way around. I'd love it if next time I went to my local Sainsbury's, the staff there were going, "Tuck yourself in. Your mother would be worried sick. Shave, man."
But it was fine, wasn't it? And I think a bit of that in the VAR, if Darren England come out now and just said, "Fuck off.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. I was tired.
Yeah.
I thought they were flying us out first class. They've got all that fucking oil money and we're in standard. The food was shit.
Didn't even get extra leg
room,
mate.
The game was dog shit. It was an awful game.
Middle
seat. I made a flyback. He's shouting at me. I was trying to talk to my mate. Because that's the other thing. If you're flying across the world with these, it's not like they meet up and I picture them like in referee's kit. And they find out who they're refereeing with that day. They've become like a tag team. They're flying all over the world. They're like rock stars.
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, have you heard what Darren and Dave have got? Yeah, they've got fucking UAE next week." Then they're refereeing in Vegas.
That's so
cool. They're obviously chatting through the game, aren't they? There's no way they're not like, "That beer we had, bloody hell. I shouldn't have drunk on the plane. That was my mistake." I imagine they're just chatting away and then they go, "Oh, fucking hell, what? Is he offside?" Yeah.
That'd be great if there was small talk on there. So you married at first sight last night? Fuck me. What's she doing with him? I wouldn't do it. If my son went to do it, I'd have his guts. Yellow card. Have you watched Married at First Sight yet?
No, I know it's become your latest obsession.
You've got to watch it. And everyone listening, I implore you, you've got to watch it. One, the show's as insane as it sounds. People get married at first sight. Secondly, they do genuinely match up couples who are well suited. So there's enough heartwarming content to satisfy.
Not the clip I've seen. The one I saw, I've seen what they showed on Gogglebox.
Right.
And it's a bit where they get married and then by the reception, he's chatting to her sister and he's winking at his mates and talking about her boobies.
That's George's, yeah. He talks about he's boobs a lot. He talks about the itty bitty titty committee. And this guy's got to be in his 30s. Mate, it's like, he's like a perfectly preserved relic from 2003. You're like, how have you not realised that this stuff isn't how people talk anymore? And he refers to them as dem titties and he does like Borat impressions. He's like, a leg. And you're like, mate.
This is filmed this year.
Broadband. What are you doing?
Yeah.
This is like so old fashioned.
When you say they pair couples, like, he shouldn't be getting married. Even his own family will be saying, don't marry this prick.
Too immature.
He's a nice lad, but give him a few years.
I'll tell you, there's one guy I've become obsessed with. I'm terrible with the names. I think his name might be Brad. So there's this couple, and she seems very sweet, and they're kind of all over each other. He is one of those people that's got like tattoos everywhere. So like right up to his jawline, it's jet black ink all over his hands and like facial tattoos that just look like marker pen. They look like he's caught himself on the face by mistake. And he talks about the universe a lot. I believe in the universe and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And she does as
well. I believe in the universe.
They've got that in common. But he is clearly randy as hell. And he goes into this sort of, whenever she's like, oh, I just want to like be romantic, he's like, yeah, me too, babe, totally on the same level. And he clearly is not on the same level. So there's a bit where he's going, I mean, sexually, I'm very adventurous. And she goes, oh, I'm more PG. Yeah, totally, babe. Yeah, I think we're just on totally the same level. And you're like, he at the moment is happy to, I just think when people talk about, when they're overly talking about energy and chakras, I think alarm bells ring.
Yes.
You think, oh, yeah. What sort of energy? where are these chakras found? Are you going to watch Married at First Sight or not?
No, I don't think so.
It could be our little thing.
Well, it'd be like me saying, are you going to watch a film about treat bowls? You know, I got enough of that going on in my life already.
But
you
I want marriage film Discord, about treat
mate.
Bowls.
I'm would, living it.
I would watch a film about treat bowls. In fact, you had your first treat bowl this week, and I know
I
that for
came
a fact
to your house
because I yes. eat it for you. So tell everyone, and you can be honest, because mm-hmm. say it in front of me, what did you make of the treat bowl experience?
Well, I loved it. I loved it.
I knew you would.
I'll tell you the things. What do you think I loved about it? There's three things I loved about it.
Okay. I think you like the fact that instead of just sitting there with a bag of crisps in your hand, there's a kind of class to having it decanted into some porcelain.
Well, I'll give you that. Yeah. I liked not just that, because had you given me it in a sort of cheap chipped bowl,
yeah,
this is a classy bowl that you put the treat bowl in.
Thank you. I also
think it's got some heft to it. It's got a beautiful ceramic finish. It's a nice treat bowl.
I also think that you like the philosophy, the thought that goes in, the layering of the flavors.
I liked there were I think four different flavors of crisp in that treat bowl. That's commitment, and I liked that. I've got questions to ask following on from that about how you maintain. How long are these? Are they all coming from big bags? Because if you've got four big bags open at any one time, you're kind of saying, I'm going to eat four big bags in at least 2 days.
It just depends what you got in. Whatever you've got in, you can either just decant. Did you hear that?
I did hear that, yeah. What was it? Was it a fart?
Don't worry about it.
You got to stop sitting on that hard wooden
plastic. It's like a school. It's like a primary school chair. This thing. It like anything that comes out. It's just amplified.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily,
Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
So I met an old friend this week.
Someone I know.
Well, no. Something from the podcast reared its ugly head again.
Your hemorrhoid.
No, that's an ever-present. And he has been a bit of trouble the last few nights, but I imagine not to use any creams. I'm at a service station.
What, now? Or you were?
No. I would have mentioned it before now. Anyway, I've got to go. Pump 9 screaming.
About to get swallowed.
I'll be gone in a minute. I'm at a service station. I nip in for a wee. I think I pop into Marx's. I probably have a look to see if they've got their vegan salt beef bagel. They haven't. They've got the new disgusting chicken and chorizo vegan sandwich, which I don't like.
Oh, I
come
like
back
it.
Out. I'm walking out. The door is not held for me. Not. Do you know what I mean? They weren't right in front of me, but it was close enough. It would have been nice, but there wasn't even a look over the shoulder. It's one of them. If they'd have looked over the shoulder, they'd have seen me, they held the door. It just didn't even occur to them to do the courteous thing. I get a bit closer, and on the back of this gentleman's T-shirt, it says, "Fuck climate change, let's go drag racing." That's all it says on it.
Okay.
Fuck climate change, let's go drag racing. And I'm like, I've made up my mind on this gentleman.
Okay.
I think I know that we're not going to be friends.
Okay.
What vehicle do you think he drives?
Okay. I'm going to lay out a few early thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Drag race now, to me, my mind goes RuPaul rather than cars. Do you know what I mean, though? So I'm like, have you unwittingly misunderstood?
He turned around. Feather boa, lots of mascara.
I think
we've discussed it on the podcast.
I think either BMW or some sort of truck.
Yeah, he's driving a pickup.
Fucking yes.
He's further evidence that everyone who drives a pickup is an arsehole.
Well, do you drive a pickup? Hello. @downthedog.com.
We've tried. There's the guy in Australia who runs a kids' football team.
Oh, yeah.
And there was someone else. And that's it. Everyone else who drives a pickup is an arsehole. And I can say that freely because they don't listen to this podcast. I don't think we've got any listeners who listen to who drive pickups. Certainly not UK-based.
Well, I mean, that's a caveat, isn't it? But why are you excluding the rest? Is it okay to drive pickups in other countries then?
I do think so, yeah, because they have they're bigger countries.
Well, it depends,
they have.
Isn't it? What if they're driving it in a smaller country?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't think we've got any listeners in Luxembourg who drive a pickup. I'm going to go that far as well. But
have
you know, your Aussies.
Luxembourg?
Ooh, I don't know.
Downthedog.com. I told you about the time I died on my ass in Luxembourg 2 nights running. It's one of the most miserable experiences of my life.
No, you didn't. Please do.
Got booked for a gig in Luxembourg, and
their mistake.
Yes. Well, exactly. Anyway, my stuff is, as people will know, predominant. I mean, it's entirely British politics focused with a bit of football chucked in. Again, British centric. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was a few years ago now, you know, early on in my career, I get booked for 2 nights. A couple of comedians I know had done it, including Paul McCaffrey. He said, what you do is on the first night, you do a bit of banter because you've got to do the same venue 2 nights running. It's like this little cafe. Second
different
night,
people,
basically doing Edinburgh show. I was like, great. And it's all expats. I'm like, they're not going to know Edinburgh. About. No, it's not expats. It's locals, right? It's like, Europeans.
Oof.
And then I die my ass the first night and the guy bollocks me. He's like, what the fuck was that? That's not what I paid for. I was like, oh my God. Then I'm just stuck in Luxembourg on my own. And it's like walking around. It's one of the few times I've ever had a glass of wine before a gig because I thought it's the sort of thing you do. I went for a spag. I stood on a bridge with no intention of doing anything. It was just, I needed to get away and it was a nice view.
I've never heard of anyone getting bollocked.
I got
what
bollocked.
Fuck was
what
that?
Was that? I was like, oh, I was told. He's like, who told you that? I was like, well, I don't know. I just thought they weren't from around. Anyway, the second night I did my Edinburgh show, it goes a bit better just because, you know, I guess you're delivering. There's no way they could have known who Ed Miliband is, but
let alone George Galloway.
But it was that day walking around Luxembourg like a condemned man on my own, just waiting to go. And you had to do 2 halves of 40, so it's not even one go. You do the opening. I mean, you booked to do 4 40-minute sets in 2 days when you're at the start. It was just mad.
Yeah.
The money wasn't even that good. It was just like, oh, I can say I gigged in Luxembourg, which had never been an ambition of mine anyway. I was like, I remember thinking, what the fuck am I doing here? Anyway, I stood on that bridge for a long time, just sort of staring into space. And then I don't even remember the joke. It was one of those things. just one of the saddest experiences of my life. I can't remember how we got here now. I feel like I've got something off my chest.
I don't know, but I'm glad we got there. Yeah, it's a uniquely, I'd say it's one of the worst elements of the job, gigging abroad. Oh, and it sounds so attractive and you sound so ungrateful for saying it, but it's fucking joyless because you don't have a good gig and then you're just on your own and you can't enjoy the day because you've got the gig at the night. You know, my policy now is to never gig abroad.
I remember doing
just
Jersey.
Just don't do it.
I remember doing Jersey with Al Murray. We got there. And it was obvious this wasn't a gig. Some rich bloke had just booked us, or booked Al, to perform. You were like, oh, there's no problem. And they were like, yeah, so you'll come for dinner with us. And we're like, what do you mean? They were basically like, we own you for the trip. And they booked a minibus ride to get us there. We're sat at the back. And they're all just, the guy at the back, he had like this ponytail. He was wearing a white suit with a black shirt like Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, yes.
And he kept talking about all the main
faces. That's how I'm going out.
Kept talking about, it was on Jersey. This is where it was. It was on Jersey. And he kept talking about like all the main faces in Jersey. And I was like, I didn't know whether this guy was a drug dealer or what. I didn't think he was. But I was like, we've basically been flown out here to hang around with people. It was horrible. And you're trapped on an island. And obviously you think, well, what if they know the pilot? How do we get home exactly? What does happen in the event of a storm? Do you know what I mean? You barely sleep in those circumstances. Now, we gave out the email address earlier, hello@downthedog.com. We've had a lot of correspondence, John. Now, someone has Shane. What a great name. Are there any Shanes anymore? When was the last Shane born? hello@downthedog.com. But Shane has been in touch and the subject line is treat mold.
It's a Shane. That's
Jane,
the jingle for
Jane,
that feature.
Jane emailed you. Here we go. He says, big fan of the podcast. Listening to you talking about treat bowls reminded me of something from my days in the army. The nutty bag.
This is going to be horrific. And at the moment, we take a trainee. Drive him out to the lake in the middle of the night.
Castrate him. We would be issued with our rations, which contain Yorkie bars, boiled sweets, and biscuits. Biscuits brown. What are biscuits brown? Anyway, he says the chocolate to keep the lads happy, the boiled sweets for energy, the biscuits brown stop you pooing for the rest of your life. We chucked them all in a bag with a bit of extra Haribo and grazed our way through the entire exercise. Nothing like a little handful of happiness when you're cold and wet on Salisbury Plain to grab a little treat to stop you from crying. Bye! The thought of sad squaddies eating sweets like eager schoolboys is something that you never really imagine when you think of the horrors of war, that they might be there chomping on a Haribo.
Oh, I'm looking at biscuits brown.
Okay,
Nairn's biscuits brown. A popular component of British Army ration packs. The biscuit brown is back. Made by Nairn's, the pack contains 6 biscuits weighing in at 84 grams and providing 375 calories of energy. These biscuits have a long shelf life of 36 months.
Ooh.
So you can go ahead and stock up on these.
According to the website I'm on, 48 months.
Oof.
And it actually says these biscuits have a long shelf life of 48 months from production date, so you can go ahead and stock up on these.
Has anyone told me how to soften up my peas? Because I had a bowl of my soup today. And I have to say, having frozen it and then thawed it, it was a little bit better. I don't know if the freezing sort of ruptured some of the cells, but it wasn't so bad.
You just will come on to the soup, John. I promise you will.
Thank you. Thanks. The one thing I've asked from the listener.
Right, let me see if anyone's been in touch. Split peas. Here we go. Ed.
Thank you.
He says, I've got some culinary
tips. It's not another army, not more army slang, is it?
He says, I can't help you with a soup mix. Oh, he says, but you mentioned things being nutty. Rice with yellow split peas. He goes, fry some yellow split peas with some diced onions. Add rinsed
basil.
What?
Fry them?
Yeah. He says, add rinsed basmati rice and some whole spices, cardamom, cloves, cinnamon, etc. Add the same amount of water to rice, cover and cook for however long it says on the packet. The yellow split peas are half cooked and add a lovely nuttiness and texture. It's my favourite way to have rice. And thanks to my dad for showing me how to do it. You can add some veg stock to the rice as well if you want. He says, John.
This guy's going in bullshit corner.
Hold on. He says, you hate sweet potato, but have you tried it roasted?
Oh, no.
Hear the man out.
Bullshit corner.
Shut the f... Listen. Have you tried it roasted? Then adding edamame and miso paste for the last 10 minutes. The miso paste complements the sweetness with umami and saltiness. This is from a Joe Wicks recipe that also uses cod fillets, but I'm sure you could use an alternative.
What's this guy's name?
Ed.
Has he sent his address?
He sent his email address. He hasn't sent his postal address.
I'll go around there. I will go around there.
Don't start harassing him.
I've asked for a simple... All I've asked for is a simple tip on how to soften me split peas. This guy's frying them.
Maybe that's the way.
That ain't softening them, is it?
He also
then he says to me, oh, you know that thing you hate? Here's a recipe for that. And then he says, oh, by the way, it come from Joe Wicks. Oh, is he barred?
No, he's not. He's a legend. He's coming. He's pitched an idea. He's part of the life and soul of this place.
I think he's barred from the dog.
No. Danny, is he barred?
What's his surname?
Trot.
Barred.
Oh, I don't know. I think he's back in, actually, if his surname's Trot.
What, Ed the Trot?
It was right under our noses and we didn't see it. Oh, man.
Do you think we've been done?
I think we've been done here.
Put him on that pub watch.
I think we've been done here.
Have we got a pub dog?
Well, we have. We have. We've got a couple of nominations. Louise says, this is Leo the Chow Chow. He's only 3, but has the vibe of a grumpy old man, so he'll fit right. And she turns a bit... Oh.
What's don't know what a breed chow that chow? Is.
Very furry, looks like a little bear.
Oh, I'd like to bury my head into his forehead. I'd like to bury my face right into that. No, just gently, like nuzzling. Like nuzzling.
Oh.
I'm not going to motorboat him, but I just want to, it looks very soft and welcoming there. Like a pillow.
He looks so clean.
It does look, that's the cleanest pub dog, yeah, is it?
It's got to be the, he's, well, so Louise, thank you so much. Leo the Chow Chow, we'll put him out on our socials. He is our pub dog. I see what you mean. He's got a slight grumpy man face, but I just think he's just got a lovely thick fur that looks so clean and welcoming. He's saying, cuddle me. That's what I'm here for. I was put on this earth to be cuddled by you guys and anyone who comes in the dog. I like
so that. Are we having it then? Is that it?
Yes. Leo the Chow Chow is this week's pub dog. Thank you so much, Louise, for sending him in. So anyone can just, I guess with a pub dog, they're just over there in the corner. They can chill. They can vibe.
And are we tossing, we haven't cleared this up. And I mean, are we tossing out the pub dogs as they finish the shift? Or are we just building up a pub full of dogs?
Like a menagerie.
Yeah, it's got a Battersea
in here.
I think we sort of usher out the previous pub dog as the new one comes in.
For the sake of my allergies, I think
health and safety.
Their owner picks them up. They go back to their life. That's what they want anyway. It's just basically a week-long loan to the dog. They're honorary. You know, whenever they come back in, we'll give them like a little treat or something.
It's not a kennel we're running, is it?
No, exactly. It can't be. And it will have consequences. They'll start shitting. You'll have dog wars. We don't want to get in trouble with the locals. And
let me tell you, while we're discussing shitting consequences, before we finish, the listener who found the 20-year-old can of Foster's has sent it in to us.
What?
So it's on its way to the dog we can sample a 20-year-old can of Foster's episode.
Would you have a sip?
I would, yeah.
Would you? But you're not worried
only
about...
for their headlines. I mean, if that doesn't get us in Birmingham Live,
fair dues. You know what? If it's about getting in Birmingham Live, I think that will do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'd do anything for this bloody podcast.
Me too.
That's all we've got time for this episode. We'll be back next week with another. Join us on another slice where for the price of half a pint a month, we'll be putting out an extra podcast exclusively for Another Slice members. It's £3 a month. It gets you the Down the Dog lock-in where you get another couple of episodes a month, some outtakes and much more. Our first episode is already up. There will be another one out next week. Go to https://www.anotherslice.com/downthedog. /.
It's anotherslice.com/downthedog. And remember, get in touch with
https://www.
Get in touch if you've been affected by any of the issues in today's show. Hello@downthedog. And for the love of God and your own body, leave a 5-star written review, share and subscribe. Bye.
Bye.